2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. You know, I listen to Renato Mariotti, and the truth of the matter is he's spot on right. I think Mueller deserves credit for sticking to the rule of law. Although, look, when you're fighting with somebody who is underhanded and sleazy and backdoorish as this guy, it's really hard to take the high road. And he did in this. Now, again, this is one of those moments where, you know, like Hillary Clinton, you know, when they go low, we go high. I don't know. There's part of me that goes, when you're dealing with people who are going to go low on you, you got to stomp them into the ground. But, you know, we'll see how this plays out. Like I said earlier, I think obviously Nadler is going to seek an unredacted report, which they should have. And Mueller, absolutely without question, has to testify. Here to share some thoughts on today's whatever that press conference was. It wasn't the Attorney General. Like I said, I think Billy Barr is the new fixer, or Roy Cohn reincarnated. But here to share some thoughts, I've asked Scott Dworkin to come talk with us. He's the co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, also host of the Dworkin Report. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey there, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. So, initial reaction, what do you got for me?
I think that my take is that Trump and his campaign colluded with Russia and the Russian government. I think that the document proves that. Whether it raises to conspiracy level of criminal charges, that's something left to lawyers. The second part of it with obstruction, he obviously obstructed justice countless times. It's not just 10 times. We don't actually know how many times. I would guess hundreds of individual counts of obstruction of justice, from acts like firing Comey to obstructing the investigation by trying to fire Mueller. So each count of trying to fire Mueller would be a count of obstruction as well. And so I think those are the two bigger takeaways. And one of the biggest takeaways that has not really been hammered down is the fact that in the report, it says something along the lines of a president can be they should take any sort of payment that they receive outside of a salary as a bribe, and they should charge him with a crime. And so that's how they sum it up, is the fact that these are bribes that he's taking, any kind of payment while he's president.
So all of these foreign governments booking, hotel reservations and mm-hmm. conferences and stuff in his hotels, is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely. Anything that has to do with money that is not his salary, anything that has to do with talking about money for his personal wealth, anything along those lines, any person who works in the White House, any peripheral of his, anybody in his family who's working on his behalf, that's a little bit different. But if they check in with him and work with him on the deals and coordinate with moves that he's going to make with the American government, we should not have to ask those questions at all, even though he's doing it. That's exactly what he's doing. But we shouldn't even have to ask those questions. I never had to ask the question, I'm not sure if Barack Obama is going to choose Saudi Arabia or the United States. Like, that's never happened. We didn't even have that. Well, maybe a little bit with George W. But, with Barack Obama, we never had to worry about that stuff. And we should never have to worry about the allegiance of the president of the United States. And what it looks like is we have a traitor who, committed treason with Russia. And that's what I see.
No. I mean, I look at this and, the reality is our news media, as I'm reading through this, and I haven't gotten all the way, I'll be honest, I haven't read the whole 400 pages, but I have, there a lot of the key stuff I looked for, the meeting in the Seychelles with Eric Prince, the Trump Tower meeting, a lot of that stuff that, we've been talking about for the last couple of years, I looked into it, and the reporting at the time was, according to the Mueller report, extremely accurate.
Right. You know, there were about 100 tidbits that we've counted so far of morsels and things like that that we've provided evidence to journalists and things like that, where it was confirmed in the Mueller report that we were, in fact, right. We knew it was, a fact because it was indisputable proof that we present videos, photos, and documents. But, you know, it really is a validator to have this report because they can't say, they can yell no collusion all day, but they should have been yelling no conspiracy. And the problem there is collusion is, you could generally say, doing anything secretive. And so if you did anything in secret that you're hiding because you're worried about the press, then that is collusion. And so he colluded a lot. And so did his staff, and so did his campaign, and so did his transition, right, and so on. And so I think unraveling that, another key point, think about the fact that they redacted a lot, obviously because of Roger Stone's ongoing mess, but they redacted a lot of that information in regards to WikiLeaks and the coordination between the Trump campaign and them. And I think that's going to be another thing unraveling on top of the 14 cases that it makes clear that it referred out from the Mueller probe. And some of that involves Russia, and some of that involves more Manafort potential charges and other people. There's a lot of notes in there indicating that people like Don Jr. lied to Congress, and these are other felonies. And I can guess that criminal referrals have already been made by Congress for Don Jr. and Jared Kushner and others.
So what you're saying, if I'm getting you right, then this isn't the end, because all the stuff I'm getting from my right wing troll folks is that this is the end. It's over. Game Trump's Game of Thrones image today. Game over.
I mean, the reality. In the real world, the evidence presented is a mountain. And, there's so many people implicated in it. There's so many people that will have to publicly testify in front of Congress now and go against Trump. And I think as you see some of his biggest supporters, not just Cohen, but, come out and have to talk against him because they can't go against what they said in the Mueller report. And so they're going to have, Don McGahn's going to have to testify basically against them. So is Hope Hicks. So is Sarah Sanders. Like, all of these people are going to have to testify on top of the biggest testimony that we may ever have in Congress, Robert Mueller, publicly testifying. And his words are going to be gold to people. So I would say that this is just the beginning, as it is a new front. We don't have to worry about him firing Mueller anymore. We got to the report. Remember, where we came from is Sessions needs to recuse.
Right.
Like, that's where we were way back when, when they had no Russian ties, as they claimed. But what happened was, Sessions did recuse. We got Rosenstein to push himself aside. We got the appointment of the special counsel, and then we protected him. And we got to this report. And the sad thing about this is, if Republicans were in charge, we would never see this.
No, excellent point. No, because I'll tell you, I'm surprised we've gotten this far, because you're right. I thought when Barr came in, it would be the end of Rosenstein and all of that, and that we would actually never get to the report. So we're a lot farther than I ever thought we would be. Now, you brought up Rosenstein's name, and did you watch him during the press conference today?
Yeah.
I kept thinking, I'm going, what is it that they've got on you, buddy, that you're just, he had a look on his face like, I don't know, someone passed gas or something, but he was not thrilled to be standing there.
Right. He was like a sixth grader in a separated room for a middle school dance. It was just sweat and bullets, and it was like, what are you doing? Not only that, I think they got to maybe four questions, and Barr was like, before he took questions, he's like, okay, I got that over with. And immediately they're like, so you don't think it's weird that you're acting like his defense attorney? And they got to like the fourth question, he's like, okay, I'm done here. And he just like scooted out. And then they released the Mueller report. But I mean, like, these people are destroying their entire integrity and everything for the rest of their lives. Like, this is not something that anyone will ever forget. No one will forget what Barr is doing right now. People are going to want to criminally prosecute him, as they should.
Do you think? I mean, do you really believe that? I mean, because, you know, I look at Billy Barr as the guy who helped cover up Iran-Contra, and we seem to have forgotten all about that.
He might get a pardon, a blanket one, you know? I mean, like, that may have been a promise, because he did make Trump is making those promises. He told the ICE, the director of ICE, he also told, I think, Kirstjen Nielsen, I think he told her too, that he would pardon them if they broke the law. Like, and so I think he kind of is just a freewheeling, you know, whatever comes up today. Yeah. And he's just like, all right, let's go day by day, have no plan, and eventually it backfires. It really does, and it hurts all of us. So yeah. I think we'll be watching what happens next, but, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he decided to resign, because what's coming next is there's nothing good, nothing good.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. And, you know, if he offered you a pardon to do something, would you actually believe him? I mean, because when the whole thing with the guy on the border came up, the first question I asked is, you know, let's say you did it. Do you believe that he would actually follow through and pardon you? Look what he did to his fixer. Look what he did. Look what he's done to Paul Manafort. I mean,
He apparently promised via his attorney that he'd be taken care of, and that's in the Mueller report as well, Manafort. So he's making promises.
Yeah, Manafort doesn't look like he's being taken care of. Image I saw of him from coming out of jail, he doesn't look good.
No, you know, and I don't want, you know, I don't have ill will in regards to folks like that, but I do think that, you know, people need to pay the price. Justice needs to be served.
No,
and I think Trump is the best example of it, because we cannot hold these people to the lowest accountability standard. They should be held to the highest. You know, one lie should be enough to impeach a president. One lie to the American people. So when you come to thousands of lies, you know, how do you handle that? Eventually, you just have to have the truth come out. So luckily, we have a timeline of events now that are set in stone, that are matter of fact, that we can look at, that we can cite, and we can use as leverage to get people to testify against them, to be able to air out everything. And eventually, Republicans are going to have to say enough, like, because it's going to be a slow-moving, I guess, big snowball just rolling down a hill, and they're not going to be able to stop it. There's nothing that they can do.
No, that sounds great. That sounds great, Scott. But do you think the Democratic Party has do you think the Democratic leadership has the wherewithal or the strategy to do that? I mean, an election is coming up. I hear a lot of voices saying, you know, we'll do the Mueller thing, you know, we'll do the hearing, but ultimately we're just going to take him out at the ballot box, and this falls to the back burner. How do you see it playing out, though?
I think that's a great way to message in regards to how we can't get attacked for we just want to impeach them. I think that they're still moving forward with investigations that normally would be called impeachment investigations. Like, they're just not called that. And so as they do these investigations in Congress on tons of different issues and corruption, and as that unravels, I think we'll learn a lot more, and public perception will eventually turn more so against them, again, to the fact that I would say that I would not be shocked if his approval rating is the largest it has ever been in the Republican Party as of next week, because there is a breaking point to everyone. Everyone eventually goes down. That's how it works. So whether or not it's now or later, I'm not sure. But I will tell you this, that they're still doing everything they promised. And as the guy who started the first impeachment campaign, me, and the coalition, obviously, and the resistance, you know, that combined with at noon when he was sworn in, I, you know, got the hashtag trending impeach Trump. So, like, if you want to talk impeachment, I'm your guy. I will tell you that that is not the right way to do it, because it's not on Democrats to move forward. All Democrats agree on that. We need Republicans to come on board, or it logically makes no sense.
Right.
No sense whatsoever. Like, so, but we're still moving forward with what would be impeachable offenses if we're uncovering these crimes. So as they investigate, I think more will come out. And, on top of that, they are filing an impeachment resolution. Like, and they have been filing those for a while. But this one is bigger than we've had to date. Representative Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are filing a resolution to impeach him. So Democrats are moving to impeach. Now, whether or not, there's any call from leadership to do so, it would not be the best move right now to say, yeah, we're going to impeach him, because it just would give them ammunition to attack us baselessly and say we're going after him and he's a, they should not worry about the blowback of it. They should want justice served, but there's no benefit in just using the word impeach behind these investigations. So we have to stay away from these words that are just going to damage us in the long run. I know that impeach sounds better to people. It makes people feel better. But again, without senators that are Republicans and without Republicans in the House coming on board, at least some of them, there's no way that we can logically, the numbers aren't there. So I can walk around and talk about impeachment all day, or I can focus on, the digging into the crimes that he has committed to expose more crimes to reveal that he should be impeached, and keep on ramming it home, as in why are Republicans keeping him in office?
Yeah, good point.
Eventually we'll just have to have a shift in the White House, the Senate, and the House, and then we can finally clean up. This is just an example and a reminder that Republicans shouldn't be in office right now.
No, I'm with you. But, it's one of those things that I still want justice done. And I think a lot of people, especially folks on the left, want justice served, especially after these last 2 years of enduring Trump's, assaults on this. It's all fake media. And yet this report has shown me, just how accurate the reporting that I've seen has been. And it's kind of a vindication. If there is an exoneration to be had here, it's of our media, who did accurately report on a lot of this stuff. Now, for me, the indictment against the media is they didn't report on it back when it was going on, and they gave Trump a pass on a lot of stuff. But since his election, I think the reporting, according to this report, is pretty much spot on.
I agree, and it's been tough, because you have to dig in so far. They attempt to hide things, because they know how nefarious and how sinister their acts are. And they've done this for a while. So you have to put together pieces that they don't want you to find. And you have to really hone in and focus on it. And it's just, thankfully, a lot of folks in the resistance have been doing opposition research and pulling things through to make sure to publicly bring this evidence forward, so that people can analyze it and have a timeline, and then journalists can dig in more, because they realize, I thought that Maria Butina wasn't, the Russian spy. I wasn't sure if she was actually connected to the Russian government, and then we put out photos that say, here's her with Russian military. And it's kind of like, then press digs into it more, but it think sometimes, because they chase whatever is quickest, like what's the breaking news, what's right now, what's what can I report on to get some clicks, and so I think we've reverted back to true journalism, where people are digging into these stories that are really tough to figure out, because again, these are criminals trying to hide their criminal acts, and so it's a very expensive thing. I mean, even when we get his tax returns, we need the tax returns for every country that he makes money from, not just here. And so it's an extensive investigation. Like, what we want to see your filings in Turkey with any money you've made there, in Egypt, in Russia, in everywhere, China. We want to know where you're hiding your money. You know, we've uncovered videos that says he has a fund where he admits he has a fund in India, and you wonder, why is he hiding his money, and what is he doing with it, and is he bringing it back here? It just seems like, you know, everything is a gigantic fraud, and he's gotten away with it. But now I really think, thanks to, you know, key journalists, I think that this is all going to break open. I'm just really proud of the resistance and everything they've done to push this forward. The truth came out, at least, you know, a lot of it today, and confirmed a lot of our thoughts, and it really dissolved a lot of that propaganda, because now we have something where it's, you know, undoubted. Like, we have proof that he did X, Y, and Z, and you can't really dispute it. There's no logical dispute to that, and so finally we have a leg up in something to wave around, and I don't think that's going to change with anything they can produce.
Yeah, but, you know, still Fox News is saying no collusion, no obstruction, total exoneration, Scott. And that's, sure. You know, look, that's the bumper sticker. That's the regurgitation point. That's it. Without even, you know, look, the guy sent that to me, and I said, have you read the report? He goes, I don't need to read the report. I know there's nothing there. And you go, if you didn't read it, how do you know? And this is, again, one of those, I guess, the question I have for you. Do you see this report as you know, doing anything to move the needle, or do you see, you know, people are already in their camps?
I think that this will remove some people from his orbit of protection. I think that they're going to be forced to either flip on him with Congress, or they're going to be embarrassed in regards to how they testify against him. I think he's going to fire some people from this report. So I think there's a lot more here. So let's just say for a second, let's remove Trump from the equation and just say, okay, based on crimes that have been committed, who should be prosecuted? And you have dozens of potential people that can face prosecution if we dig in more. And basically, Mueller gave us some of those people on a silver platter, and Congress just needs to do their due diligence, and they will end up in prison,
right?
Or they will end up, you know, prosecuted for crimes, so they can make a deal and, you know, then tell their story. But this is a big ball of yarn, and ignoring the fact that Trump exists and he thinks he's above the law, if you forget about that fact for a moment and you think about everyone else involved, this is just a new beginning of what they'll have to face. We got through one phase of it. Now we have to uncover the little morsels that are the breadcrumbs that are left from Mueller for Congress, and also the 14 different investigations that are ongoing right now. Right. And it, on top of those are 14 that were farmed out. That's on top of the dozens of investigations into other criminal acts by Trump and his family. So no one is in the clear right now. This is just worse for them. There's no exoneration of any sort with any of this. The only things that they've said is that we didn't have enough evidence to indict because of X. Like, you know, and that's not exonerating somebody. That's, you know, that's saying they destroyed evidence, or, you know, we couldn't find it, or we couldn't use it because we, you know, were spying when we got it internationally. Like intel on it or something like that, where they can't use it in court.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of different things on the table right now. This is not good. I would not be smiling. If I were in the White House right now, I would lawyer up and I would resign. Like, I would get out of there, because all he's going to want to do now is try and cover up the other crimes that he's committed and commit more acts of obstruction of justice. And eventually he's going to start injuring his own party. And that's when they start to turn on him, I think, if ever. You know, this may take the ballot box. You know, it's a cult, and they're scared of him.
Yeah. And no, I want him taken out at the ballot box. Last question I've got for you, about a minute to go. Anything in this surprise you? I'll tell you what surprised me. The number of orders that he gave that nobody bothered to follow through on.
Right. That was interesting to see and sad, but it seems like that happens in his business. I saw that happen a lot where he's like, we should do business with this person or that person, and then his children around him would kind of vet those people and, you know, smell them out and see whether or not it's best for the business. So he's used to coming up with ideas and it not coming back to him. He will remember everything he says, though, and he won't forget if he gives you an order. And so he, you know, he's not a person where he's a, I don't want to say the word, it's not smart. He is evil. It is, you know, he's trying to use his malignant charm to try and get you to do something so then he can manipulate you and then use it for leverage. And I think a lot of those people rolled their eyes because they were like, I'm not going to jail. Like, I know that that's illegal, and I'm not going to jail over this guy.
Yeah.
And so I think when he reads it, if he ever does, or if it's read to him, which I think is going to be the case here, you know, I think he's going to write a list down and see how he can ruin every person that turned against them in there and spoke against them.
Yeah, there you go. He'll have a hit list. But Scott, I appreciate the thoughts as this continues. Love to have you back.
Thanks, Rick. Anytime.
Good stuff. Appreciate it. Scott Dworkin, co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, also host of the Dworkin Report. Make sure you check out his podcast and the work that they do. Quick break. Right back.